We're delighted that you chose to spend Christmas Eve with us tonight. We've anticipated your arrival, and particularly the 11 o'clock hour, because this is the one where those of us who have been leading five services can really worship, relax, and enjoy it with you. And we know that God has some special blessings for us. With the pressures and the activities of a busy season behind us, we want you now to kind of sit back and take a big spiritual breath of fresh air and to focus on what we know the season is about, but we haven't had quite time to do it yet. And that's the focus on our Lord Jesus Christ and rejoicing that God sent him to us as his gift. We're going to retell the Christmas story and the miracle it involves here tonight. We're going to sing some familiar carols, and we're going to light some candles of hope and joy that we hope will ignite inside your souls and bring you a new sense of warmth and closeness to God because you worship with us tonight. We have a special guest with us. Henrietta Blackman sang with us last Christmas. We fell in love with her and her gifts. She's a soloist this year for our choir's recent CD. She's currently singing in Phantom of the Opera in San Francisco. And above all, she's a fantastic Christian lady. We're grateful she allowed us to adopt her for our worship tonight. Christmas Eve is a time when God does touch lives. We know that for a fact. Perhaps you do too, and that's why you're here. We feel that no one is here by chance, that possibly he has a very special agenda just for you tonight that you're going to discover this hour. And so with that kind of expectation, anticipation, it's my joy, as is our tradition here at Menlo Presbyterian Church, to welcome you to the loveliest night of the year.
Pray. Almighty God, loving God, we come to you tonight to adore you, to offer you our praise and our worship because of your amazing love, the love that you've given us in Jesus Christ. We ask that your Holy Spirit would enable us to kneel at the manger, to offer Jesus our praise and thanks. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you are seated, Please greet one another, wish one another a Merry Christmas. Let's continue to celebrate as we remember the Christmas story using the scripture as we read responsibly. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph went also from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child.
And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you.
Let's read responsively about the first visitors who responded to the birth of Jesus. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on the earth peace among those whom he favors."
For Christmas articulates a hunger common to many of us on Christmas Eve. College students have come back from school, guests and family have come from out of town, and others might identify with that hit song, "I'm homesick for the home I never had." Norman Rockwell was the artist who portrayed this hunger for being home at Christmas time in the American heart, and he used as his setting his home in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. For many of us, the idea of going home for Christmas is only a dream. Thomas Wolfe said, "We can't go home again." Death, divorce, dysfunction have stripped away what many of us would call home this year. And yet this very hunger for home can be used of God tonight in this place to lead us to hunger for Him, which is the ultimate homecoming. The good news of Christmas is that in Jesus, God has done it everything necessary to make it possible for you to return back to Him and have a relationship of love with Him. No matter how far you might have strayed or how badly you might have messed up your life. Think for a moment what it might mean for you to come home to God this Christmas. My very favorite story that Jesus ever told in the Bible is about a son who came to his father saying, "Dad, I'm bored and I'm feeling very confined here at home. I want you to give me my inheritance because I'm going to leave." And the father reluctantly agreed, and the son went to a far city. And we read how he spent his inheritance in riotous living. And then one day he ran out of money and he ran out of friends. And he ended up in a pigsty of remorse and guilt. For a Jewish boy feeding pigs, that was the ultimate insult. And one day it occurred to him that the servants of his father at least had shelter and 3 meals a day. So he made a decision. He said, "I'm going to go back home and I'm going to say to my dad, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. After the way I've wasted my life, thrown away my inheritance, but would you take me back as one of your hired servants?" As the son approached his home, one of the great pictures in the New Testament is the father saw the son in the distance. And he ran and he literally swept that boy up in his arms and embraced him and said, "Welcome home, son." And before that guy could even get the words out of his mouth about wanting to be a servant, his father put the ring back on his finger, put a robe on him, and that was the Jewish way of telling him he was still part of the family. And then he threw a party in his son's honor. And with tears streaming down his cheeks, the father said, "This my son was lost, and he's come home." I like the way Jesus told us God views those of us who have roamed from Him and strayed. He calls us lost. Christmas is good news for all of God's sons and daughters who have, for whatever reason, strayed away from Him. And tonight He's here to remind us that He still loves us, and there's nothing we've ever done or ever will do that will make Him stop loving us or stop seeking us, just as He is tonight. There's a true story that's very relevant this week as we're waiting for the helicopter pilot to come back from Korea that tells us about the origin of why we tie yellow ribbons when somebody is missing in prison and we want them to come home. There was a convict in Texas who was being released. He had served his term, and with great hesitancy, he had written this letter to his wife. "Darling, I know how I've hurt you and the children. I'm not worthy to come back as a father or a husband, but just in case you and the children could forgive me and want me back, I'm leaving prison next week. I'll be taking a bus that runs right by the house. And if you want me to get off, just tie a yellow ribbon on the oak tree outside the house. And if there's no ribbon, I'll just stay on the bus and keep going. I don't have the courage to face you personally after all I have done. Love, your husband." So upon his release, he climbed on the bus and he grew increasingly agitated and nervous as the bus approached that final curve leading to his house. Would there be a yellow ribbon on the tree? He asked himself 100 times on the trip. And as they rounded that last curve, he looked and there was not one ribbon on that oak tree. There were hundreds of yellow ribbons on the oak tree. And he leaped off the bus into the waiting arms of his wife and children. That's a true story. And there's another true story, and that is that those yellow ribbons symbolize how God feels about you tonight. Every decoration in this sanctuary is an expression of how much God loves you and how He desires you to come back home. Now, I need to switch gears for a moment. Maybe you strayed from God not because of some huge rebellion or sin, but you strayed from Him because you just became disappointed. Broken dreams that aren't going to happen, a wreath on a casket with the words "why," persistent pain that destroys your power to hope. And the good news is the Bible says God heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. Christmas means that God that you can't know out there, stepped right into our circumstances so we're no longer alone in our pain and our hurt and our disappointments and our need. Henrietta, who sang for us this evening, told me her story. And with her permission, I give it to you. She weighed 1.5 pounds at birth. Her father was a preacher and didn't have the resources to cover her medical expenses. And miraculously, the Ford Foundation heard of her need and funded her recovery. And one interesting part of the story is at birth, it was thought that Henrietta's eyes had been permanently damaged. If you're sitting where you could see her tonight, you'll notice that her eyes are a most commanding part of her ministry to us. God didn't spare that Christian father the disappointment of a baby girl in need with no apparent resources to help. And maybe God didn't spare you that hurt in your life that you can't quite figure out. But that father trusted God and dared to pray for a miracle. And in this case, a miracle happened. But my point, bad things do happen to good people. But Christmas guarantees you'll never need to be alone in your pain again. This God who loved you sent Jesus. And he can transform, even tonight, your disappointment into joy. And so if you feel separated from God tonight by guilt, by disappointment, I want to tell a final story that if you've been attending here through the years, you've heard before, but somehow it always fits on Christmas Eve. And this story explains why Jesus had to come and how he can provide a way for you to come back to God, come back home tonight if you should so choose. It's called the Parable of the Birds. Once upon a time, there was a man who looked upon Christmas as a lot of humbug. He wasn't a Scrooge. He was kind. He was a decent person. But he didn't believe all about that stuff that the churches preach at Christmas time about Jesus being God. And he was too honest to pretend that he did. "I'm truly sorry to distress you," he told his wife, who was a very faithful churchgoer. "But I simply don't understand this claim, how the God of this universe can become a person. It doesn't make any sense to me." Well, one Christmas Eve, his wife and children went to church for the midnight service, and he declined to accompany them. He said, "I'd feel like a hypocrite. I'd rather stay home, but I will stay up till you get home." Shortly after his family drove away, in the car, snow began to fall, and he went to the window and watched the flurries get heavier and heavier. "Well, if we must have Christmas," he thought, "it's nice to have a white one." A few minutes later, he was startled by a thud against the window, and it was quickly followed by another one and another one. And he thought someone must be throwing snowballs at his living room window. Going to the front door to investigate, he found this flock of birds kind of huddled miserably and helplessly in the snow. They had been caught in the storm, and in a desperate search for shelter, they had tried to fly through the window. "Well, I can't let these poor creatures lie there and freeze," he thought, "but how can I help them?" Then he remembered the barn. It would provide warm shelter. So he put on his coat and he tramped through the deepening snow to the barn, opened the door wide, and turned on the light. But the birds didn't come in. "Food will lure them in," he thought, so he hurried back to the house for breadcrumbs, which he sprinkled along the snow to make a trail to the barn. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flop helplessly in the snow. Then he tried shooing them in by walking around and waving his arms, but they scattered in every direction, except into the warm, lighted barn. "They find me a strange and terrifying creature," he said to himself, "and I can't seem to think of any way to let them know that they can trust me. If only I could be a bird myself for a few minutes, perhaps I could lead them to safety." Just at that moment, the church bells began to ring, and he stood silently in the snow, listening to the bells, pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And then in a very insightful moment, he sank to his knees in the snow. "Now I understand," he whispered. "Now I see why you had to do it." And you know, that's our prayer for you tonight, that God might open our eyes so we could understand why he had to do it. That God had to come in Jesus because God is so big, so removed from us. The only way we could know what he's truly like and overcome the stereotypes of many of us thinking him as a fanatical judge anxious to punish us, or as a faraway God unconcerned about us who knows us not and who cares less. Jesus came to show us what God was really like. He came to show us how to get back into relationship with God from whom we've strayed. Because in Jesus, God forgives everything we've ever done. He liberates us from self-centered living, and he makes us a new people, and he gives us this thing we call abundant and eternal life. I'm happy to tell every one of you tonight, personally, the yellow ribbons are out for you, symbolized by the yellow flame and the candles in a few minutes that we'll soon light. And the arms of this God who came to us in Jesus are now wide open, ready to receive you. If in your heart tonight you'd like to come back, And you know where you are in relationship with God and what your needs are. And if you need the gift, I would certainly ask you in God's behalf, would you accept this invitation to come back home, to join that son, gain the insight that you can come home no matter how far away you might be? Would you become a Christian tonight? You know, the process is as simple and beautiful as the story of Christmas itself. It's a simple prayer. God, I accept your gift of Jesus because I know I need it. I accept Jesus as my Savior. I want to come back home. And if that should be your decision tonight, if you'd like to come back to God, I can guarantee you that you're going to understand in a depth you've never known before the meaning of these words that we say so glibly, and yet they're so profound. Merry Christmas. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we have a deep awareness that we're not here by chance tonight. Many of us have already heard a still small voice in our soul, very familiar, beckoning us to come back home. We know how far we've roamed, but Lord, I pray you're going to help each one of us understand there's enough mercy to cover anything we've ever done. Give us the insight to know you love us and never will stop loving us. And give us the ability to join that son in making a decision to come home. And if we're disappointed with you tonight, I pray we'll trust you, God, that no matter what's happened in our life, that does not deny your love. So in these few moments, light a candle of hope, of insight, of love, of new beginnings in our hearts tonight. Make this a holy night for us, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope.
Let us continue to praise God by reading responsively from Matthew's account of the Magi's journey. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star stop, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they knelt down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
What response can we make to this Christ child that we have seen again tonight? Well, Walt has already mentioned that one response we can make is to accept his invitation and come home. And that door is always open to us. But if you've already made that decision, you've come home, then the next response is the same response as that of the Magi. That we come and we give thanks and we offer him our gifts. And so as the ushers come forward to receive our offering tonight, let's give out of a sense of gratitude, a sense that God has met us at our deepest point of need and has promised to be with us always.
Thank you.
It's been our experience through the years that God does good things in the lives of people on Christmas Eve, personal things that can impact our relationship with Him. And maybe that's happened to you tonight. We're going to give you an opportunity in these next few moments to have some very personal worship between you and God. And as you watch one candle after another being lit, perhaps you might identify with what God has done in your life tonight. Perhaps you'll find that He's ignited a candle of hope where you didn't think there was any hope. A candle of cleansing and forgiveness where you felt you were beyond forgiveness. Perhaps it's an agenda known only to you. But I'm going to invite you now in this very quiet time of Christmas Eve to watch the candle and to see if this can't become a moment between you and God when indeed something special happens to you. Musicians, They have outdone themselves, filled with the very grace of God, and ministered to us in a very beautiful way tonight. Mm-hmm. And so Doug and all of those who are with you and the choir that surrounds you, thank you, and I think it would be very appropriate to say.
There is an old hymn which goes, "Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling to you and to me. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, come home. Ye who are weary, come home." May God's Spirit throw his arms around you and carry you home this Christmas, and next Christmas, until he carries you home to heaven for all of eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, Merry Christmas.